time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. It's the year of the long weekend, people, and with over 160 locations across Australia and New Zealand, you'll be sure to find a Choice Hotel. Plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Tuesday edition of Molloy. G'day, Dave.
Mickey, how are you?
Here we go again.
Oh,
big
yes.
News all around Australia. Depending on which state you're listening to us from,
yep.
We'll give you the update. We'll give you the guff, exactly where your state lies with lockdown as we speak. We might even check in with Merrick Watts to see how he's going.
Yeah.
Then we'll cheer you all up. We'll go to the Olympics. There's gold everywhere.
Well
the
done,
girls
Australia.
Have gone bonkers.
They have.
Our mate, Grant Hackett, who's our... talking us through everything that's happening
Olympic
in the pool.
Olympic champ himself.
One of the best in the business by a long shot. We'll ring in and tell us all about it. We're going to ask you, what are you watching in the Olympics?
Yeah.
What's your event? What are you watching that you'd never normally
that's
watch?
That's right.
So you've become an instant expert at
piqued your curiosity.
It's locked down. There's not a lot on but Olympics, and it's fun to watch.
Yep.
I'm into a few different things. I'll let you know.
Look forward to
all
it.
All about it. The great Ross Noble. Will be making contact from the great state of Queensland,
yes.
where he's currently touring, knocking him dead.
Doing shows, first one tonight, I believe, in Brisbane,
Powerhouse.
Too. Yeah.
You're an idiot. If you don't get along and say that, it will go bonkers. That will probably tie up most of our second hour.
Right.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets. A lot to get through, Dave.
Let's jump into it for
Here
a Tuesday.
We go.
Thanks to Choice Hotels, where you can plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest prices guaranteed.
This is Molloy.
We interrupt this program.
My message is...
How dare you?
Apocalypse Watch!
This is not a test.
Molloy's
Apocalypse Watch.
A big day, Dave, for many states around the Big Brown Land.
What's going
some
on?
Good news and some bad news. Depending on where you live, we'll start with the better news. South Australia and Victoria coming out of lockdowns. Victoria coming out of lockdown 5.0.
Yeah.
Professionals at this, the Victorians.
Not before.
A little too much experience. Everyone is thankful. It's out of lockdown, but there's still quite a lot of control.
Heavy restrictions.
I just want to say, I think the Victorian government have been kind of dicks about this. I hate the suspenseful nature. Oh, we're just going to wait. Well, we won't know till tomorrow.
Wait and
you
see.
Knew what you were going to do.
That's right.
And people I know in hospitality, they've got 40 people to hire.
That's right.
They've got rooms to book.
Rosters.
They've got stuff to order. So
pays to organise.
Thanks for letting them know.
Bit of a heads up.
Good luck trying to get anything done for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett, I hope Brett Sutton finds a way to maybe travel into state.
Go to Canberra. And
go to an award ceremony with all his mates again, because that's what he does. Lost all his moral authority.
Yeah.
I believe.
Right.
To impose a lockdown on Victorians. So good news there for South Australia and Victoria.
No new
Queensland,
cases, Queensland.
No new community. Cases. That's
good.
Coming. Not so good for New South Wales. Heart goes out to everyone in New South Wales.
Sure.
As a Victorian, been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not pretty. It's not fun. 172 cases today, which is a step in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Need to get your head around that. One of the many casualties, I believe, in what will be another 7 weeks of lockdown.
Wow.
Is Merrick Watts.
Oh, Merrick.
He's on the line now. Merrick, you've heard the news. Yeah, where are you now? Are you in your bat cave? Are you in the attic? Are you downstairs?
I'm in my upstairs bunker in the attic. I've just been doing a lot of work up in the attic to the point where I literally heard my son say on his school Zoom today, he said, "My dad spends most of his days in the attic now." That's to his teacher. So I'm just waiting for the cops to come at any stage. And that is actually a bonus, because that means I'm allowed to have some visitors. So I'm always looking for the upside, Mick. Looking for the upside.
Well, I was homeschooling with my boys today, and I walked past just in time to hear one of my boys tell the teacher and class, I suggest, "My dad's keeping beer under my bed." Now, I felt obliged to jump on and defend myself. Anyway, it didn't end well for me. I said I'll see you in parent teacher night. So how are you going?
I'll bring the beers.
How are you feeling? That's not good news. They're talking it could be anywhere up to another 7 weeks of lockdown in New South Wales. How are you coping?
It's pretty disappointing, Mick, to be, you know, serious for a second. 172 cases really makes me feel like it puts me off wanting to punch a horse. I'll say that. Like, you know, I did have a pretty big week of horse punching planned, but I just feel like I don't have the energy for that now.
Just get a horse in a headlock or...
Well, look, I don't know. At the moment, to be honest, I would actually mace my own face just for a new form of entertainment. I've literally, Mick, upstairs in my attic, in my cubby house, in what is often referred to as a retreat, Anne Frank's diary room. It's got a few different names. Over the weekend, my wife, I thought I'd surprise her because I wanted her to be a part of this new world that I've developed. So I built a bar because we've got a window that overlooks Maroubra Beach, right? Fantastic. So we can actually see the beach. Yeah. The only window we've got where we've got a sea view, of course, is the attic. So now what I'm doing is I'm slowly bringing the house into the attic. So I built a bar and then I brought my wife up the ladder into the attic to see this bar that I built. Yes. And guess what, Mick?
What?
She thinks it's shit. It's a terrible idea. And she said, why would we ever want to have sundowners in an attic, Mary? And I said, I don't know, but I just spent $350 at Bunnings, so let's find a way to enjoy it.
I said this to you off air last week. I think you're turning into Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
I really do. Who was working in his basement working on the Spruce Goose. You're upstairs building a bar in the attic. Probably bottling your own urine. I don't know.
Mick, that was the weekend. I'm up to drinking.
Bear grill stuff. Hey, on that note, please, I have to ask you this because you're an expert in the field. I've seen the new promo for SAS Australia. And in the promo, this is what I saw in the promo. Your mate Ant tipping Bryn Edelston out of a helicopter at about 200 feet. I went, well, now I've got to watch.
You're in.
I mean, I'm pretty sure she might have airbags installed already, so she would have been all right when she hit the water. But always handy to have your own flotation device.
That's right. She's not going to drown, is she?
Nah, she's not going to tip over. Now, look, it was pretty confronting. I looked at that and I was like, I've seen the promos as well. I've watched it several times. I'm like, I am in for watching this show.
You
100%.
Who do you think? Have you got a show? Alicia Molik, any good? Could she do it?
No.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed they didn't get Wally Masur. That's all I'm saying.
Would have been amazing.
Manu. You know,
I would have got the two Woodies, Mick. I've thought about this all right. I would have got the two Woodies and made them have a death match, right? Just say, literally at the start of the show, only one of you is walking out of here alive. You decide which one.
I do that every night with my twin boys. That's a good idea. Now,
only one of you is eating. You decide.
That's what I do. For Christmas, they get one present. Guys, one present. Go. Hey, what about Manu? Has he got what it takes?
Look, Manu could be a wild card because, I don't know, like there's always a smoky where you could be quite surprised by somebody and the casting agents probably look at that, you know. So, I don't know, Manu could do anything.
Yeah.
He could make a souffle and that will definitely surprise the DS if he does. Look, I mean, they're not going to see that coming.
Can he curry favour with the DS with a souffle? Look, I know I ended that task early and I didn't really compete hard, but I've got you a souffle.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing too, of course, and I really do like Manu, he's a good guy, but, you know, he's French, so, you know, surrender is always going to be on his mind.
Mate Philippoussis, the poo.
Oh, the poo.
The poo. Does he have what it takes?
The scud is a military weapon. The guy is a missile. I definitely reckon Philippoussis will be there towards the end. I reckon he'll make top four just because he's fit. You can just see it in their eyes. Like, literally, you know, I can look at a lot of those people in that show, particularly from the promos, not so much from the promo photos, but you can see when they're out in the field and you can get an idea and you go, nah, they've got that glint of crazy in their eyes. And I reckon he's got just enough crazy and I reckon he'll be a real contender.
And probably still have time to hit on the hottest woman in there as well at night.
Oh, yeah. Well, which is out of the water, of course. Oh, sorry, we're talking about Bryn, aren't we? Okay.
All right, you've spent too much time alone in your attic.
I'm in lockdown in a cubby house I've laid out some pillows up here. I'm going to invite my wife up here because I'm going to try and make this our second bedroom. Now, I know that there's going to be some pushback on this, so we'll just see how we go.
You could build some bunks. Or what about a wicker man and then set fire to it? I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with ideas. Good on you, Merrick. Can we send you anything?
Yeah, what do you need?
Yeah, thoughts and prayers, guys. If you've got any thoughts or prayers,
on its way.
People can send them to my mind address, which is merrick@hisownmind.com.au.
Maybe we'll get people to stand at the front of your house. You can wave from the attic window while they do the pots and pans. You know they did for first responders.
Too good. I would love that.
All right, I would love that.
Thoughts and prayers, guys.
It's Malloy on Triple M.
Driving you home, this is Malloy.
Well, we've been loving the Olympics, Mickey, and right now we're going to be joined by an Olympian himself. He was fantastic on the front bar last week.
Was he ever?
He's one of the greatest distance swimmers in history.
If not the greatest.
Olympic champion, and of course he's on Sunrise Tokyo Olympic panel. It is Grant Hackett right now.
Hello, Grant,
Malloy.
How are you?
Very well, thanks, gents. How are you?
Good. Are you like us? Are you just once again blown away by the swimmers who always get us off to a flyer at the Olympics, and in this case, particularly the women. Discuss.
I think we all knew on paper that they were going to be a really solid, team going into this, but the fact that they're actually getting the results at Olympic level is exactly what we wanted to see. You can go and rank number one, number two, but that doesn't matter. You've got to be able to do it under that pressure, and the fact the Olympics comes once every 4 years, and in this scenario, once every five years.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing it, they're executing well, we're getting plenty of medals of all types of colour, and we've already got as many gold medals as we did last time around in Rio. We're rolling into day three. Wow.
It's fantastic. Let's just work through until we get to today's events, but the women's 4x100 freestyle team, they now go down in history as one of the great relay teams of all time. Is that three in a row for the girls?
That's three in a row for the girls. And the interesting thing about that is they won in 2012. They did that relatively convincingly. 2016, they nailed a world record. And the dominance normally starts to drop off a little bit then. Yep. But it hasn't with this team. It's increased. They won by 3 seconds. They smashed the world record. And they just, there was kind of daylight behind them. So, they're a phenomenal bunch of women. And the reality is you could actually swap out two of the relay members from the heats and put them in and they'd still win. That's just how much depth is in that team still.
One of the talking points so far, the women's 400 freestyle, Ariane Titmus. Now, you on this show a couple of weeks ago talked her right up. We said, who do we watch? And you said this girl. You said she swam the fastest 200 metres outside of the illegal suits by 200ths of a second. And then you said, watch her. How blown away were you? How meticulous was the planning, firstly, for that race, the 400?
I have to say it's one of the few events in swimming full stop that I've ever watched that I would give a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I'm a big critic. There's always something that I'll find.
Sure. Mm.
But to go up against arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest athlete of all time in female swimming, Katie Ledecky, to go out there under the Olympic pressure, no experience at that level, first individual event, and almost to break the world record and beat her, and to let her get out by body length as well, that can sometimes rattle you a little bit mentally.
Would she have had to have done that for the plan to work? She goes, I know she's going to do this, but you're torn between widening that gap or tactically throwing the book out the window and going with her.
Spot on. That's the thing. And if she didn't let her go out, and didn't start looking at her knees or her heels, she probably would have spoiled her own strength and not have the power to be able to come home over the top at the end and actually dominate her in that last sort of 25 or 30 metres. She would have lost that edge.
Well, so you have mowed her down.
Yeah. Oh, but it takes so much mental control to be able to go, okay, I've got to let her go a little bit here through the kind of 150, 250, that I'm going to start clawing her back slowly. And hopefully I've got enough left. And she did exactly that. And it was amazing swim. I mean, I was just sitting there in the telly. I was just screaming at the end. We all felt like Dean Boxer was the one out there doing it.
Now, what do you make of his antics? Is he pulled focus, or do you understand the build-up and the excitement? Because she genuinely loves him. You can tell they have an incredible relationship. I mean, is he the new Laurie Lawrence?
Oh, he absolutely is. He's the new age. He's the contemporary Laurie Lawrence, that's for sure. My mum and dad always said, swimming coaches, they seem to be a different breed, and Dean Boxall absolutely proves it. So, Laurie Lawrence is there, and I don't know, it's too much chlorine or something, and it eventually gets to all of us.
Can I ask you, just before we talk about Kayleigh McEwen, when we're talking about Titmus and Ledecky, are they watching each other? Are they aware of where they are? Can you take a look? Mm.
Oh, for sure. I remember, you know, racing alongside Ian Thorpe for many, many years, and I remember pushing off under the water, and you'd come up and you'd breathe, and you'd actually see each other, and you'd eyeball each other for a second.
Wow.
And the thing I hated about Ian, when I was going really fast, I could only breathe to my right side,
yes.
but Ian could breathe to both sides because he was such a freak. He could kind of come off one wall, he'd be staring at you, then he'd push off and he'd be staring back at you. I'm like, come on, mate, just let me have an edge. Yeah. I'll just move away a little bit. Yeah. Or, you're giving me nothing. That's so you do look at him. If you've got more than two lanes between you, it gets hard to see them, but if you're side by side, you are eyeballing a fair bit, particularly off the turns.
Now, what about Kaylee McEwen today? Gold in the women's 100-metre backstroke. What did you make of her swim?
Again, very cool under pressure. Her semi-final wasn't great. She went 58.09, where her world record's 57.4. So she was well off that. There was a few people ahead of her. You know, it doesn't play out like national titles where you're so far ahead of everyone else. You get ahead of the field and you get confidence coming off the turn and you just start to pull away from everyone. Mm. She went into the turn. She wasn't number one. And then she had to get back up and start to claw over the rest of the field. And for someone with that lack of experience, to be totally honest, to win at that level again like Ariane was phenomenal. And, these girls just know how to perform when it really counts.
They know how to perform in the pool. They're a bit lippy outside of the pool. I'm going to play you a post-match interview. Have a listen.
Your mum, Sharon, and your big sister, Taylor, are there watching. It's been such a difficult time for your whole family.
Yeah.
What would you like to say to your mum and your sister for now?
Yeah, oh, shit!
We'll get the beep ready. Get the beep
audio there, thanks to Channel 7.
Yes, you ever let rip with the fruity language after a big race?
I think you can give a, sort of get out of jail pass there for that one at that particular moment. At least you know it's completely natural, but... sometimes it is hard to contain yourself. Yeah. Those sorts of moments are just so rare as a swimmer. I mean, it's not like footy where you kind of go, okay, we lost. Maybe next week we'll get another crack and we'll get the 2 points.
Yeah.
Once every 4 years, there's a lot. I mean, Dean Boxall, we've already spoken about it, but you see the pressure just come off because it is such a huge moment.
And just quickly, we've got to go. I want to know, we spoke briefly about this the other night in the front bar. You were brilliant, by the way. Yeah, thank you very much. Great feedback. Can I ask... One of the perks must be the first week. You get your job done and you do a good job.
Mm.
It must be fun being in the village for that second week.
It is really cool because you literally, the first few days in Olympic Village, it's the most serious place on earth.
Yeah,
like no one talks on the bus, everyone's there, you know, it's like that 4 years of build-up. It's real. Second week, you know, swimmers, other sports, they start to slowly drop off. All of a sudden, the music in the village gets louder and louder and louder. And then you see, you know, the beer kegs being wheeled down the street into, you know, there it's going to one of the European nations and the parties start to erupt. And, you know, it sort of flips itself on its head from the first week. So I wouldn't be in there if I was a marathon runner, but as a sport in the first week, it's good fun. The only time you're not going to see that is, of course, this Olympics. As soon as you're done, because of COVID, you've got to jump on the plane and come home and quarantine. So, it's pretty tough on them, but you're there to do a job, and that's all I'd be worried about right now.
Good on you, mate. We've got to go. Just one to go out on. Who should we keep our eye on? What's next?
Well, we've seen the women dominate. They're going to continue to do that. Look out for Ariane in the 200 freestyle and the 800 and the relays as well. But look out for Kyle Chalmers. He swung an amazing anchor leg.
Unbelievable.
The American who he's going up against, which is like the Katie Ledecky of the team, Caleb Dressel.
Yes.
It's going to come right down to the wire. Caleb will be out super fast. Watch for our Chalmers coming home. And the last 10 metres, it's got to be nail-biting stuff.
Done. Awesome. Good on you, Grant.
Amazing.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Ross Noble will join us in the second hour. Can't wait. We just heard from Grant Hackett there, by the way. Sunrise Tokyo Olympic panel on Channel 7. He is unbelievably good.
I'm picking his brains. I could have spoke to him another half hour.
I love that.
I don't know why. The 1500, I think, is only... been a women's event. This is the first Olympics.
I had no idea.
I didn't either. I hope I'm not wrong, but that's what I was hearing today. It is fascinating. There's so many stories coming out of the pool. But we get sidetracked by that because that's where all the medals come from.
True.
I have to say, though, we all do it.
Yep.
We all become experts once every 4 years in another sport that you can't help, but you just start watching.
That's it. You're fascinated by it.
It might be the men's floor team at the gymnastics.
I love the gymnastics.
Do you?
I do. That's the one I've been watching. The rings, the pommel horse. Just the strength in pulling yourself up.
There's only a couple of us who can do that.
Is that? Right, okay.
You need really good upper body strength and big quads, big chunky thighs.
Well, you got one of those, right?
And calves. Have you seen my calves?
Impressive.
And of course, the women's gymnastics, which is just, you just watch the flips hurl their bodies into shapes that are off the charts.
And then you go, yeah, it's a really good land that you become an expert.
Did see the German women have arced up about their costuming and said, we don't, which, good on them. I mean, no one should be forced to wear anything they don't want to wear
at
any event. If you don't want to, if you want to perform in pantaloons,
you should be,
as long as you're not getting an advantage it, you should be allowed to do it. So good on the German girls for saying, no, we'll wear the long leotards.
What have you been enjoying? What have you been watching?
So the kayaking, because we've got a real red-hot gold medal chance in the kayaking, Fox coming up.
Yeah.
The daughter of two former champs. What blows me away is how they create a river.
It's unreal,
it just,
isn't it?
It just all does man-made. My head in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you go, that's a man-made. Yeah. They're pumping water in, they're pumping water out.
And it looks tough.
It looks tough.
Yeah.
That should be how they get people out of a pool bar at the end of the night.
Just turn the jets on.
Turn the jets on. Turn the jets on and create. I reckon I could last still another two drinks.
End up in a drain somewhere.
So there's a bit of that. The table tennis. You know I love the table tennis.
Table tennis. What about that 48-year-old Australian who's going so well?
Her name, I won't attempt the name.
Jean Fang Lei.
Fang Lei.
Yep.
And this is her fifth Olympics.
No kidding.
Her sixth Olympics.
Oh, my God.
She's 48.
Good on her.
And as she said the secret is get there early, get the good back. No, she didn't. So that's what I've been watching. 133353, what have you been watching?
Yeah,
Look out, James is in the studio. What have you been watching?
My girlfriend Lucy and I have been getting hard into the dressage of late, the dancing horsies. That has been captivating. Absolutely.
Has it?
Yeah, it has.
And can I ask, do you put the jumpers on and get the crop out? I mean, what are you doing?
Pour myself a pint of Guinness and I just sit back and...
So what's the equestrian? The equestrian's an interesting one because it's like the only one where I believe the horse should go on the podium. Because it's not...
This is the same conversation I was having with my girlfriend.
Why does the rider get to go on the podium when the horse
really
is clearly doing all the heavy lifting?
That's right.
You're essentially human ballast.
Yeah.
I could sit on one of those things. Could you? Side saddle. And as long as I give it a carrot at the end, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I like it. Do you think the horse and the rider should be deducted points if the horse poos? Because
especially if the rider poos.
Okay.
I think that's got to be at least a couple of points. Hey, by the way, why not anything for the Shetland?
It's a good point.
If you're going to have an equestrian event, something for the
Clydesdales.
something for Shetland. And maybe for people who aren't sons or daughters of billionaires to be very good at this.
Yeah, good
Springsteen's
point.
Daughter is competing in the equestrian events. Jessica Springsteen.
Yeah, she's pretty good too.
He'll write a song about it.
He will indeed.
It's on the next horse album. Came to my front porch. It was in the carrot. Hey, what are you watching, Dave?
No, gymnastics is for me. Did you want to?
You said gymnastics.
You've got Paul from Brisbane on the line here. He's been watching some stuff.
What have you been watching, Paul?
Men's and women's hockey mix, and I'm still waiting for him to bring back the bully.
Bring back the bully, which is the hockey one, hockey two, hockey three.
Dead right. And, Mick, if the umpire's confused and they don't know what to do, they do still have an onside bully. But guess what? They just do the one tap of the stick.
Boom! If they bring back the hockey one, hockey two, hockey three, that's the best bit.
The bully.
That is the best bit.
The only best bit.
Duke him, Dave.
A case of Brick Lane draft on its way there for you, Paul.
All right. You get the water polo. Here's one for you. What's the water polo?
It's brutal.
Great above deck.
That is a
then
brutal
they go below
game.
Deck, and they are kicking the bejesus out of
each other.
They are
pulling their bathers down and punching on.
There's a wedgie. I saw a wedgie.
Wedgie.
I saw a squirrel grip. 133353, what have you been watching in the Olympics? Give us a call.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Been spending a lot of time in front of the TV, sitting on the couch, watching sports we only ever usually get to see every 4 years
and
with the Olympics.
Experts in.
Already
I love
expert.
It. There's so much to watch, so many different disciplines. You can go around. There's 40 different channels, I think, on the 7 Plus.
7 Plus is doing an amazing job.
Watch whatever you
handball,
like.
Handball, this is looking at today's schedule, artistic gymnastics, weightlifting, diving, equestrian, boxing, surfing, softball. It's all there. Something for everyone.
You see stuff you've never seen before. Bermuda win its first ever gold medal in 85 years of competition.
No way.
Fantastic in the triathlon.
Well done.
You see those stupid idiots, those men's and the open road bikes. It still has done my head in that someone would put their hand up and go, I'll do that.
Mount Fuji. That sounds fun.
Ride 230 Ks and at the same time get up top of Mount Fuji.
Up a hill.
Yeah, sure.
Steep.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
Not on a goodies style bike.
No, that's right. Where there were three,
me and two Olympians.
That's right.
I would just
up Mount Fuji.
Jay's in the studio. 133353, what have you been watching that you wouldn't normally watch? Mm. What's come across your desk, Jay?
Dange mentioned the gymnasts.
Yes.
And because of so strong, you know, like the Iron Cross. Yeah. These guys doing moves, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. I love watching the wrestling and the weightlifting. Just seeing people do those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
But the thing that I cannot get enough of right now is the basketball playing robot.
Now, so
what?
So coming into these Olympics,
this?
No. The Japanese who are big on robots.
Yes. Oh,
that's
yeah.
A bit,
of course.
Have said to us, you know, we're going to pop in some robots. I saw this. Explain the basketball robot.
Toyota's basketball playing robot named Q-C-U-E. It's an AI playing robot. It calculates the distance, the angles, all these things. 6'10", and it's knocking down three-pointers, half-court shots, anywhere on the floor.
It is. If it doesn't matter where it sets up, it does a calculation and makes the appropriate variations and dunks it.
And
then,
it's
nonstop.
Just makes the shot.
And then afterwards in the room, smokes a cigar at the press conference, puts on the goggles, sprays you with a champagne. Yeah. Is that your favorite robot, though?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
There's been a few good robots in history.
Hal, the...
Hal from 2001. Yeah. That can't be your favorite.
Hello there, Dave.
I don't think so, Jay. Shoot the basket. Shoot the basket, Jay. So Hal was the not-a-good robot. That was the first AI. That film was telling you what AI can possibly do when a robot takes over.
Yeah, right.
Hi, call me old-fashioned, but I'm a Lost in Space man.
Oh, yeah.
Danger Will Robinson. Danger.
Yeah, the original.
That was a good robot.
Yeah. What about Rosie the Robot, a robot from the Jetsons. Jetsons? Yeah, she was like the maid. She's like the housemaid. She used to make
Dexter
the beds.
Dexter was good because he could always hook you up with a hottie. Yeah. That was Dexter from, what was it, Perfect Match?
Yeah, that's right. Dexter.
Yeah, Dexter was the...
Bender
from Futurama was always good.
Soft spot for the Daleks. Soft spot for the Daleks.
Experiment.
Well, give us a call if you've got a favourite robot. In the meantime, we want to know what you've been watching. Darren's on the line. What have you been watching, Darren?
I've been watching The Skateboarder, Mick, and they're not very good, mate.
Darren's chipping in.
We're all about 12 years. I've done a skateboard in my life, but I reckon I could do better.
Oh, you've never skateboarded, and these guys are no good.
I'd love to get a skateboard out to you right now. Darren, how old are you, Darren?
I'm 55, Mick.
55, it's not too late to take it.
That's it. Give it a shot.
Okay, you got to pay for my life insurance?
Yes, and your knee operations. Yep. And what makes you think they're not very good?
They keep going, it's decked out like a local supermarket car park, and they go down the railing of the stairs, they keep falling off.
I might have to get a drug test around the Darren's joint, I reckon, just to see how it's going. I'm 13-year-old, won the gold medal. I'm thinking that's good because that'll be our last. You'll be washed up at 17. Darren. Thanks for the call. Craig's on the line. Craig, what are you looking forward to, buddy?
I'm looking forward to the hammer throw.
The hammer throw. Yeah. Do you know what?
You get to go round and round in circles and let go of a piece of metal and hope you can fling it as far as you can.
And get it in the right direction. Yeah. It's a bit awkward if that lands in the crowd. It's not like throwing your golf ball into the crowd after. I'm just disappointed it's not an actual hammer. It'd be great if someone came out and just started hurling hammers
like a
around.
A claw hammer or something.
Thanks for the call. Brad's on the line. Oh, no. Who's it? Ral.
Ral.
Yeah, Ral.
Hey, Ral.
We'll run with that, shall we?
Yeah, that's right. That's whoever you are. What's your favourite event?
Look, I've got to tell you, I've started watching the beach volleyball. I mean, the household names of Chris McHugh and Damien Schumann now. I mean,
I'm an expert.
Didn't know who the hell they were.
Can I tell you something? This is my tip, Ral. Forget the beach volleyball. Go indoors and watch the actual proper volleyball, in particular the women's volleyball, because I've... Just have to say that the most magnificent athletes I've ever seen. So these girls are like 6'6".
Yep.
They are like supermodels because they're just fit, but also they're good at something.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you see Poland play Cuba,
I tell you too much about
you are going to see the best thing ever. I tell you what, we're going to come back and talk robots. They're queuing up. 133353.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
That's terrifying.
That's a sinister robot.
That is terrifying.
That is hell. From 2001 A Space Odyssey. We're asking you because we've seen a basketball throwing robot that's blown our
minds.
What's the best robot in history? And the phones have blown up.
Wouldn't believe
Everyone wants to get involved. Everyone's got their favourites. Brad's on the line. Brad, favourite robot?
It would have to be, without a doubt, Liz Hurley, the fembot from Austin Powers.
I love a good fembot. Yeah. You can't go past a fembot. Duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane draft, Brad. Good call, mate.
Right on it, Brad. Well done. Yeah, yeah. That's what we're talking about. Steve, Steve, what are you thinking in the robot department?
Well, one of the funniest robots I ever saw was Jaime from Get Smart.
Jaime! Jaime from Get Smart!
And the beauty of it was, like a good secret agent, they put him in the cupboard and plug him in until they needed him next, you know?
That's right. And he was such a sweetheart, too,
he
wasn't he, Jaime?
He was a good robot. I liked him a lot.
Yeah. It's a pity you can't do that with premiers, but anyway, we'll get back to
that. It's another conversation. Duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane draft. It's on its way for you there, Steve. Good on you, buddy.
Jason's on the line. Jason, what are you thinking?
Yeah, mate, you remember K-9, it was in with Doctor Who and the TARDIS?
Now, I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan, but I've heard of K-9. K-9, a robot dog.
He used to have a little thing come out of his nose and shoot lasers at people.
And if he cocked his leg, he had to make sure he didn't get it on himself or it'd short circuit.
You wouldn't want something to come out the other end, that's for sure.
Good point there, Jason.
Wow. All right, I like it. Duke him, Dave.
You've got yourself tickets to go see Chopper, the 20th anniversary of this iconic movie, August 26th in cinemas, digitally remastered. So
let's take Dan on line four, shall we?
G'day,
see what
Dan.
Dan's up to. Dan, what are you thinking?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I was thinking Kelly LeBrock out of Weird Science.
Okay, I'm setting certain pattern forming here, guys. Hot robot chicks and fembots. When is this technology coming in with it? Yeah. Everyone keeps tantalising us with the idea that a sex bot is just around the corner.
Right.
I mean, if you can get a robot that can shoot a basket from 12 feet, surely you can get something I can cuddle up to on the couch.
What about, you talk about robots, though. I think
all the girls out there are disgusted.
We'll move in another direction here. What about C-3PO from Star Wars or R2-D? I mean, they're droids, but they're robots, essentially,
aren't they?
Dave. Yeah, and a bit of a C-3PO. C-3PO.
I thought it was James for a second. Now, was he gay? Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not coming, but I think that was. Is that the only gay robot we've ever come across?
Sure, he was very neat. He had a lot of languages he could speak as well. So, look, I'm not sure what he's.
I was always cross.
He was cross with a lot of people because he had things to do. And
Glenn's on the line. Glenn, what are you thinking, Glenn?
Hey, Glenn.
No, he's not there. Glenn.
Hey, Mickey. How you doing?
All right, who's a robot, please?
One broke my heart when I was a young fella, mate. Astro Boy.
Astro Boy, jury's out. Is that a robot?
Yeah, he was a robot. He turned out to be a robot at the end. Very sad.
Did he?
Oh, I'll have to.
Had jets in his feet, didn't he? Like, that's how he propelled himself.
All right, I'll take your word for it, Glenn. Not bad. What about what about Optimus Prime?
Oh, yeah.
Or as my boys call me, Dorkimus Dad. Did I tell you that?
Oh.
We watched one of those together.
Your boys
and
are the
then
best.
Afterwards, they Dorkimus Dad. That's what I became. Good on you, Dorkimus Dad.
Your boys are radio show.
All right, I think we've got the idea. Hey, we've got to take a break.
Ross Noble.
Hey, can I just mention quickly, too?
Yes.
Show on Channel 10, Cheap Seats. I watched the first episode last week and it was bloody brilliant.
Melanie and Tim's amazing, isn't it?
Really good from the Working Dog Stable.
Good call.
I'm just thinking if you get sick of Olympics or whatever, but I saw that and I thought that was one of the best shows I've seen debut. But
awesome. None. Cheap Seats here tonight, Channel 10. All right. Malloy.
This is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's going to be a beauty coming up. The great Ross Noble.
Can't wait.
He's going to, who knows what he's up to. Coming to us live from Queensland.
Yeah.
It always gets off the rails.
New shows tonight too, Brisbane. Look out. Fantastic. More shows been added.
In the meantime, please stop calling with your favourite robots.
Yeah, what about this one? This one has been a hot call.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Terminator.
What about RoboCop? We could do this all day. We just said don't do this anymore. Stop it, everybody.
You can always get in touch. You can get in touch through the socials if you've got some more to add. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well.
Is Ross Noble a robot?
About to find out.
Wow. Who knows?
A hairy one.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
And joining us from our Triple M Brisbane studios on this Tuesday afternoon.
Coming in strong.
Ross Noble.
Hello, Ross. How are you?
Hello. I'm up a palm tree. That's how it works up here.
That's what I'm imagining. You on a hammock right now drinking something out of a coconut.
Can I just say that if my wife is listening, no, I am in gulag style conditions.
She's currently
in a lockdown, looking after our children, and I've dug a ditch, and I'm lying in the ditch. there's no sunshine here. Please don't dob me in.
How are your gigs going? Because I know you're chasing the whatever borders we're allowed to perform in at the moment.
Yes.
It's a hard game. But you got to Queensland, and they're bloody good live crowds here, aren't they?
And look, it's one of those things, in case anyone is going, hang on a second, he's had some sort of exemption. Absolutely not. Mm. A couple of weeks ago, what I do is I watch the AFL players.
Right.
And when they start to migrate, because they've got the inside track.
Oh.
Somebody's on the phone. Somebody's going, get the lads out of here. And I just keep an eye on the sports. And as soon as they start moving them, I'm like, you know, in those war films where the guy like hides underneath the truck. I basically do that. So as they migrate north, I've got an expression that I like to use. And it's basically, you know, like red sky at night, shepherd's delight. You know that sort of.
I do.
I use this. It's footy players on a plane, lockdown again. So you just watch. So I've set up my own hub. I've been on the Gold Coast, didn't leave the. I don't have to quarantine, but I quarantined in, and I've been checking on the. You know how you got to check the exposure sites for 14 days to see that you haven't. I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving the exposure sites.
Have you come across anything good?
Oh, some great ones. There was one fella in Sydney who dropped his kid off at school, then went to a strip club. I mean, that's commitment. But what about this one? There was one.
That's good parenting. At least you didn't take the kid to the strip club and then drop him off at school. Because,
exactly.
I mean, come on.
Pick him up from school, strip club. McDonald's.
The parent-teacher night. Exactly. There's
a great one in Victoria, which was, get this, right? There was an exposure site at Jesus is the Way Christian Church.
Wow.
Call me old-fashioned, but if you're a Christian church, if you're called Jesus is the Way, I don't think you need to put the words Christian church in there. No, nobody thinks it's a fried chicken place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Jesus really didn't help out with that whole COVID thing, did he? You know what I mean? You've been sent on your way.
Exactly. Don't share the holy
that's a
water.
Good. Did I tell you? So my exposure site was.
Oh, God. No. The last thing you want to hear is Mick Molloy saying, let me tell you about my exposure site.
Well, it was really embarrassing, I have to say. And they went, Mick, were you at Crown Casino between these times?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Were you in Theatre 5? Yes.
Cruella.
Yes, I was at the 7 o'clock screening of Cruella at Crown. Why couldn't it have been a titty bar or a tattoo parlour or some kind of, I don't know, but it was very embarrassing for me.
Did you enjoy the film, though?
It was a very good film. Emma Stone was wonderful.
At least you didn't turn up to the strip club with a load of Dalmatians. That's always awkward.
Do you know what? There was a story. A woman gave birth in the car park of a strip club. It's a story that I heard recently. I went, well, that's one way to get the dad to be present at the birth. gave birth to a girl. So, hi, this is my daughter, Christina, or you can call her Persephone.
at least you didn't give birth on the pole.
Well, that
because that's always tricky, isn't it? Always awkward when someone's got to buff that brass. That's what you don't. You never hear about that. The unsung heroes that keep this country running. The brass buffer.
Should be they're essential services. They should be allowed to work through a lockdown. Surely. I remember there was a fire at the Crazy Horse in Adelaide strip club, and I was wondering myself, how long would it take the fire brigade to get to that? Right, within 3 minutes there were 50 firemen standing around.
In. Well, the great thing about when there's a fire in a strip club, often the alarm and the firemen come down the ramp.
Down the stripper pole.
Yeah, they're just upstairs.
And of course, most of them were firemen, apart from one male stripper who was dressed as a fireman. And he just took his clothes off and stormed the stage. Hey, can you hang about, please?
Yes.
Ross, we want to make some more lots progress with about. You. There's lots to get through.
Yep.
More after this.
It's Malloy on Triple M.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
Tonight, Brisbane powerhouse Ross Noble is on stage July 27 to August 8. A-list.com.au. He's joining us from our Brisbane studios.
And if you haven't seen Ross before, buckle up.
Oh, my God.
You're in for a big one.
It's so good.
Strap yourself in, and if you need any emergency counselling afterwards, there are numbers you can call. That's a great joint too, by the way. That's one of my favourite venues in Australia.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and I'm two weeks
awesome.
I'm there for.
That's so good.
2 weeks.
A dream.
You will... you've got to get Anastasia Palaszczuk to come along. Like she turned up in Japan. She should turn up to one of your gigs.
Yeah.
And when you come on stage, do that little jump like she did when they got the Olympics. That'd be a good start.
I'd be more than happy for her to do a short press conference before I come on.
You could get up and do a Q&A.
Well, imagine that. I turn up to one of her press conferences. It was meant to... It's 4 hours long, it's been. There's... I have to say as well, so basically, while I'm up here, I've put an extra show on in Toowoomba.
Oh, yeah,
and I've got another one in Cairns. They're not official ones, but I thought, I'm up here.
You're up here. I'm adding them in.
Everything's open. I've bunged them in. I'm ducking and diving. I'm bothering and weaving.
Cairns is one of my favourite places in Australia, bar none. They will love your comic stylings. Up there, what else is going on in your world? Can I ask? Is there anything you're just totally, did you put the blinkers on when it comes time to do your stand up and your live performances?
Not at all. No, I've been because I've been trying to avoid people. I don't have to go in lockdown, but I thought I'll just do it. So I've been in there since we last spoke. Mm. Did you see Brett Sutton? You know the health.
Brett Sutton, Melbourne's chief health officer, who I'm a little disappointed in because he went on a holiday when we were all locked down. And I thought it was a bit much.
He's up here in the palm tree.
He's beside you right now at the pool bar.
Did you see though? He had his jab,
right.
And he's got tattoos.
So he's quite popular with the ladies, isn't he? Like Brett Sutton's one of these. All the girls seem to think he's their favourite chief health officer. Yeah. And what's his tattoo?
I couldn't really see, but it looked like it was sort of like I tried to zoom in, and I think because it looked like wings, and I think when I say wings, like the actual wings, not Paul McCartney and Linda. It's just fallen lit. No, he sort of had wings. And I think...
It's not, is it?
I can't confirm, but I think it might be a tattoo of Daniel Andrews holding up in his North Face jacket. like an angel.
I thought you were going to say Icarus. Me too. Icarus is still the topic raging on Triple M.
Honestly.
It dominated the airways up until Friday. They were ringing in. My favourite caller, though, because I was convinced Icarus was a horse, and I didn't take it well when I found out that there was a fair bit of argument to the contrary. but my favourite caller, he just gave up in the end, was this bloke.
Well, Ross is very, very right, Mr. Malloy. Mickey boy, you are very, very wrong.
And what is your bona fides on this one?
I am a retired history teacher.
Okay.
And Icarus and Dadlius were imprisoned in the labyrinth. Icarus flew too close to the sun, melted his wings, the rest is history.
What happened to the horse?
Mm.
Mate, there ain't no horse.
I've exasperated a history teacher. Mate, there is no horse. Anyway, that's one of my mythical figures. If I want to invent a horse that flew too close to the sun, that had wings, that's my choice.
Exactly, it's your problem.
You do it all the time on your show.
Exactly. So I have come up with this idea for a little feature you might like called Mix Mythical Mates.
Oh, go on.
It can't be.
So what I've done, right, is I've gone through all of the mythical beasts, and I've come up with, I'm going to say the name of a mythical beast and see if you can guess what it is.
Okay.
Fine. Just for, you know, start a bit of a debate, you know, because people love the mythical chat, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I present to you, Mick Malloy, one of your mythical mates is the hippocamp. And let me just say, it's not a hippopotamus going, oh, I do like this river. It's not that.
Well, there goes my first response. Well, no, it's a place where, you know, like they have an elephant graveyard.
Yes. Oh, yes.
There's a hippo camp. So you go, where do you want to go, kids? Do you want to go check out the elephant graveyard? No. Dad, let's go to the hippo camp. And we all go down there. And strangely enough, they're sitting around a fire. They're sitting around a fire toasting marshmallows, telling stories from the old days.
Ah.
The early. Yeah. And you've got to be quiet, otherwise their ears turn around really fast. You know when they do that thing?
Or have you seen a hippo pooing?
Oh,
have you ever seen a hippo
poo? No, they get the propeller going, don't they?
They do, yeah. Spray it everywhere. You wouldn't want to be in the bushes at the hippo camp. I can tell you that.
Don't sneak up on them in the hippo camp.
Yeah, the alarm's gone off. A hippo camp, and this has got to be one of the worst mythical creatures, like, by design, right? Yes. It's half horse, half fish.
Half horse, half fish.
Now, I don't know how this works. Is it a big fish's head on a hippo body?
Yeah.
Or is it like a hippo's body and then just a little stickleback-styled tail flipping around? This is a genuine thing.
Yeah. If you featured
on the Trevi Fountain.
Is it?
It's on the Trevi Fountain, and it's also the logo of Air France. So, Mick, what do you think to the hippo camp? Your thoughts?
The half horse, half fish.
Yeah.
Yes.
All I can think of is if it was a dish, it would be surf and turf. If you ordered it, like if you went into a bistro, you're all hungry. I'll have the hippo camp because it's all surf and turf. Yeah. Number 42, your hippo camp is ready.
Hey. So it's like a kind of a, because the French, they eat the horse, so it would be like a sort of a French chowder.
That's right. So and it'd be offensive to God, so you'd have to eat it under a blanket. You know, like, you know that, how they eat that bird egg? You know, bird egg. So you can't eat the hippocampus until you've put like a,
A horse blanket or a fishing rope.
All right, hey, we're going to have to wind this up. We're going to come back and talk some more.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a U2 update I want to get to.
All right, Ross Noble's with us. More with Ross after this. It's Malloy.
This is Malloy.
With Mick Malloy and Ross Noble, who tonight, Brisbane Powerhouse, got some more shows coming to Cairns and Toowoomba as well, which is unreal. You've also got the YouTube, the Unnatural History Show, and, of course, your podcast as well. You're a very busy man, Ross Noble.
He is indeed.
There's a lot going on with you.
Can we play a quick grab from the latest podcast,
yes,
please?
Yes, the time has come. Take a look.
I have lots of photographs of my eldest daughter when she was a toddler. In the days where we used to have the plastic bag, at the supermarkets, I used to like to put two holes in the bottom of the bag, put her in the bag, legs would come out the bottom,
and then
I would put the handles over her shoulders, and she'd have a lovely bag dress.
Where would she go in her bag dress?
Just around the house. I mean, I always observe her because you can't have her children playing with plastic bags.
No, I know. It was supervised bag dressing.
It's a lot of fun you can have at home. You'd be great for homeschooling now if she wasn't fully grown adult. I mean, that's kind of changed.
Although her growth was stunted because she was trapped in bags for most of her childhood. It always used to surprise me the fact that those carrier bags would have... you know, you'd buy something and it'd be printed on the plastic. It would always say, "This bag is not a toy."
Right.
Yeah. How terrible a parent would you have to be? Christmas Day. Did you get me a bike? No, here's a plastic bag.
Shall I unwrap it, Dad? No, there's nothing to unwrap. That's it. That is it.
That is the toy. That is the very toy.
Hey, you're on stage tonight. Can I ask, I just had this in mind. I don't know how you open your show these days, but would you ever consider doing it to U2?
Oh,
Vertigo.
Oh.
What was it?
Un, deux, trois.
Quatre. Because you've made that famous French. Here. We can't listen to that song on this radio station or play it or throw to it now without just falling over laughing at that.
Well, you know what? There's an update.
I received
what can only be described as a deluge of correspondence on the social media.
Yes.
It turns out that after he says, "What? Oh, it's, oh no, you've got French in my head now."
Yes, I have it. Have you got it there, Dave?
Dos, tres, catorce.
That's catorce. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Un, deux, trois. What's French for 14?
Quatorze.
Quatorze. When he plays Paris. Well, it turns out, right?
I can't speak every language, but I can order a beer in 52 countries.
Wow.
Je veux dire une Heineken? Ich bin ein Heineken.
Is that what you? Because I do. Because I don't drink, but I learn a little bit of each language, the country I go to,
yes.
And I learn to say, "Ik ben de kikkerwanger, ik ben de kikker." Right?
Wow.
And yeah, that's Dutch. And
I'm
I was in Holland, and I was doing some gigs, and I said to my mate, I said, "There's a couple of ladies." He was a single fella, and I said, "Watch this," and I said. I walked over to him and went, "Ich bin der Kickerwanger, ich von der Kicker." And then I walked back to him at the bar and I go, Are they staring? Are they staring? And he goes, "They are staring, they're definitely staring." I said, "Right, I'm going to bed, you go over there, get chatting," right? And I saw him the next day at breakfast and he was like, "You bastard." And I said, "What?" And he went, "You walked over to those women and said, 'I am the frog catcher, I catch the frog.'" That was
and it was those, dead right, and that's
absolutely yes.
That's a dead that old that's your line. That's your intro, is it? That's your
100%. I mean, you know, I've been with my wife for 20 years, but I tell you what, if I was a single man, I'd be putting myself out there as a Dutch fraud.
All right, so you two. What happened?
You two. So basically, it turns out that after he says unos dos tres catorce, right?
Yeah.
He says something else that we missed while we were laughing at him. We missed the. He actually says, if you turn it up, he says afterwards, he goes, "Turn it up, Captain."
Oh.
He actually says, "Turn it up." Have you got it?
Yeah,
let's have a listen.
Turn it up, Captain.
Aye. Turn it up, Captain.
I cannot give her any more power, Captain.
He has his
own Captain Kirk.
He's lost the plot. He's gone rogue.
I think you've got it. I think that you two are running. They're on a spaceship. Their recording studio's on a spaceship. They're trying to get out of the grip of the Klingons.
Yes. I cannot give her any more, Captain. Turn it up, Captain.
Oh, no, Bono. Oh, no, Bono. I can't go any faster, Bono.
You are too good.
And then what about this, right? Mm. This is what I thought, because at some point, you two, I'm now calling this Bono Watch. Right?
Yeah.
Do contact me on the socials if you've got anything. Bono's up to something in one of your songs, do let me know. Because I want to try this, right? When we finally get Stadium Rock back, right?
Yes.
And you two come to Australia, right? I want to start a chant. You know those chants, certain songs, like "Will I Ever See Your Face Again"?
Yeah.
We all know what people chant, right? Why don't we do this, right? In Sunday Bloody Sunday, right?
Yes.
Bono sings, how long must I sing this song, right? Now that song is 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
All right.
Like that. What about that? Imagine an entire stadium.
Yeah.
You join me, play again. You do it with me, Mick.
All right.
And
we're at the gig.
Four minutes and 41 seconds. We're gonna have placards in the crowd, like John 4:41. All right, you've done enough. You really have. That's what they can do tonight. That'll be a good heckle. Tonight at the Powerhouse, and don't forget the extra gigs, by the way.
Yes.
Cairns, what a treat.
Yeah, and Toowoomba.
And Toowoomba.
Yeah.
Hey, always a pleasure to catch up, big fella. Thanks
for having me.
Good on you,
see
Ross.
You A-list.com.au for tickets to see Ross Noble. It's Malloy on Triple M.
Driving you home, this is Malloy.
Well, thanks to Choice Hotels. You can plan your next getaway at choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. You know, there's 180 hotels across Australia and New Zealand, 7,000 worldwide.
That's why they're the best in the business. And in these times, it's your best option. Imagine that for a long weekend, you get away, regional Australia, right up our alley. There's some beautiful parts of this country that people have never seen. You can't travel overseas.
No.
Why wouldn't you go somewhere in your own backyard that's drop-dead gorgeous and world-class, like Mackay?
We spoke about Mackay yesterday. I got an email, Mick, from Sandy Whittington Shaw. She was so proud of her city. She's going, hey,
this
guys.
This is after us talking about it on
yesterday. Hey, guys, thanks for upselling Mackay. I just got home and heard you guys. I did, in fact, see a platypus when I went to Young Jella on my birthday, July 1st. Yes, another cancer
world's
in
best spot to see a
platypus.
Platypus.
Yeah, yeah. We are spoilt for beaches, rainforest, all within an hour's drive. Plenty of beautiful places in between. We love the show. Listen every day. Thanks, guys.
And there's only one place to stay.
Oh, yeah. No.
I am telling you, that's the Comfort Resort, Blue Pacific.
Ooh,
located right on the beachfront at Black Beach in Mackay. Who are we talking to, Dave?
This is Kathy who's going to join us right now. Kathy is
hi,
from
Kathy.
That very resort.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are we?
Great Kathy. To chat to you. Dave wasn't brave enough to try your last name. I tried to talk him into it. How do you pronounce it, Kathy?
I married a clogwog, as I call him. It's Oatstem Bohard.
Hey, Clogwog, he's not related to Dirk Hartog, is he?
No, not at all.
Those Dutch have been out here for some time.
Yeah.
Well, he and his family have, but only about 35, 40 years now. So.
I tell you what, if Dirk Hartog had got off in Mackay, he wouldn't have left.
Not a chance.
100%.
How are you going? Yeah. You got up there 22 years ago and never bloody left.
I know. Someone would say we're mad. But when you look at the scenery and what Mackay has to offer, you're not mad.
You're not mad at all. Now, I've heard, I have it on good authority, that your joint is right on the beach. Bang. You walk out the front door and you're on it or in it. True or false?
True.
Oof.
Okay. I've also heard that wallabies roam that beach at any time of the day or night. True or false?
Well, that's a halfwayer. Can I say that?
Yes.
What?
We have had wallabies along our beach and along our beachfront. Mm. However, if you really want to be guaranteed a viewing of the wallabies, Cape Hillsborough is the place to be, which is only just 45, 50 minutes up the road.
Done. What about whale watching? Can I see a whale on that beach?
Oh, you can. It depends on what particular breed it might be, but I might get hit for that one.
Can I harpoon it?
No, you can't harpoon it.
Not recommended.
No, Kathy. Sorry you had to hear that.
Hey, what a great part. I said yesterday, I've toured through Queensland and North Queensland doing stand-up tours, and it was one of the most exceptional tours I've ever been on. And I remember getting to Mackay and doing a two-night stand-up show, meeting a few of the locals. I've never had a better time. He had to virtually crowbar me out of that joint. Was there, tell me this, Kathy, is there still a copper there called Mick Malloy? Because a policeman came to my gig. This would have been 20-odd years ago.
Wow.
And he said, my name's Mick Malloy. He goes, I've been getting a lot of your parking and a lot of your things, and it's not a good look for me. So I don't know if he's still there or not, but he gave me a couple of lifts home, let's say, in the back of his divvy
van. What vintage was he, Mick?
He would have been on. Look, I'd guess he's not there anymore. Okay. It was 20-odd years ago. But
He could be retired now.
Yeah. Right. Living the life.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
This hotel, by the way, Mick, is set on 3 acres of lush tropical gardens. Two swimming pools there as well. So.
What? Why have you got two pools?
Because we're greedy.
One for him, one for her.
Exactly,
one for the kids, one for the adults. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, you cut it. Hey, keep up the good work, Kath. We can't wait to send some of our listeners your way. We love that part of town. Who's our station up there, Dave?
That is 98.7 Triple M. Mackay and the Wit Sundays. Jay and Dave for breakfast.
I like Jay.
They
don't care for
they're
Dave.
Brilliant guys.
All right. Well, we'll catch up with you soon. Keep up the good work, Kath. And don't forget, anyone who feels like getting away and relaxing having a long week back, the Comfort Resort Blue Pacific is right there for you.
Well done, Kath.
Thank you, guys. You have a great afternoon.
Yeah, well, you too. Choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed as well.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
And that is the show for today.
I'm exhausted. Ross Noble exhausts me. And
me
if
too.
You want to get exhausted and you live in Queensland, you're a dick if you don't get along and see his live shows.
I saw his show earlier this year.
Amazing.
It's a rib tickler. You'll come out in pain of laughing. It's
you will.
So much fun.
Good luck. Yeah. Buckle up. And so who's good. On tomorrow's show?
All
Brian?
Right, on the show tomorrow. Oh, Denise Scott's going to join us tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic. Always love it when Denise swings by.
Titus O'Reilly as well, who's shooting the lights out at the moment, by the way.
And
on the
we'll be watching, of course, the Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's tomorrow. That sounds like a good Wednesday, Malloy, to drive you home again here on Triple M.
Now you're all caught up on the Malloy Drive Show. Why not plan your next getaway with Choice Hotels? With hotels in every state and territory, wherever you're headed, Choice Hotels are there. Visit choicehotels.com for the lowest price guaranteed. Terms and conditions apply.